Tonight, when he opened the garden door, the air that met him might be warm and soft and smelling of flowers. The yew trees across the lawn would be welcome him. He would go down the sundial path and then turn right and run along the shadowy tunnel path between the yew trees and the nut stubs and come out into the sunshine again by the asparagus beds and perhaps see Abel digging a root again of horseradish by the apple tree and Hattie, a little girl once more, in her blue pinafore, waiting to spin her tail for him. For time in the garden can go back, Tom reminded himself, and she may be a little girl again tonight, and we shall play games together. Friday was mostly spent in getting ready for Tom going home. His things were collected and gone through, his suitcase was polished and relabeled, and his aunt took him out shopping to choose what delicacies he would like for his packed lunch on the train, and what little presents he would take with him to his mother and father and Peter. Tom could not feign interest in what seemed so far away in time. It might be years before he saw his home again tomorrow. That night, Aunt Gwen left both bedroom doors open so that she could hear Tom if he got out of bed in his sleep. Tom did not fail to notice his aunt's device. His midnight cunning and soundlessness had grown within weeks of practice. He was out of the flat and starting downstairs without having disturbed the sleepers. He'd seen from his bedroom window that the sky was overcast. There was neither moonlight nor starlight. As he went downstairs, he could hardly see the oblong of the landing window. "It doesn't matter, though," Tom said, and felt his way surely down the lower treads and so into the hall. Here he stopped to listen to the grandfather clock, as though it might have some message for him. But the clock minded its own business, and its ticking only gave a measured reproof to him for the over-hasty beating of his heart. He went down to the hall, turned left at the old boot cupboard, and was at the garden door. Suddenly, he was in a panic to be out. He tore at the fastening of the door, and, though it was the wrong fastening that his fingers found, he would not allow himself to think of that. "I'm going to get to the garden," he said between his teeth, and the clocks ticking behind him neither confirmed nor contradicted his words. He'd got the door open now, and it was night outside too, as black as the night indoors. He could see nothing. He stood on the doorstep and sniffed the air. There was no frost in it, and yet there was no lingering summer perfume from shut flowers and from the smell of grass and leaves. The air seemed empty of smell, except for a faint tang that he could not quite place.